Yihul ratzon imarefe v'gion libi lefanecha Adonai tzuri v'go'ali. May the words of my mouth and thoughts of my heart be acceptable before you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Shalom all, and welcome to our online classes of the Kosher Torah School. And of course, I'm your host, Ariel Bar Tzedok. Good evening, Erev Tov, Buenas Noches, welcome, bienvenidos, everybody. We are presently studying the teachings of the Kabbalah from a specific book called Dat Utfuna, the Book of Knowledge and Perception, written by the Baghdadi Rabbi Yosef Haim, better known to us as the Ben Ish Hai. He is, or I should say we are, in the middle of chapter 20, discussing the topic of prophecy. And the Ben Ish Hai, our author, is at this time quoting large sections from the earlier works of Rabbi Chaim Vital, the master Kabbalist of the Lurianic system, and from his book Sha'arei Kedusha. This is the third class in this prophetic series. Now, a point that I have made in the past, actually made it right before we began this recording, and we made it in the previous classes, and I'm going to say it again right now. Why? You know, I read somewhere in some psychology magazine somewhere along my many years of learning that unless something is repeated like 30 or 40 times, sometimes it just doesn't sink in. And maybe from my own personal experience, I think that might be true. Maybe that's a definition why we say some of us have hard heads. But anyway, it's important that we always keep focused on what it is that we are learning. Even though we are learning a book of Kabbalah, and Kabbalah is interpreted to be Jewish mysticism, and it is therefore considered metaphysical philosophy and the like. Well, all of these fancy terms and words that we're throwing out here are all well and good. However, let's strip it all down and remember that what we are talking about here are common, yes, common human psychological experiences, which are applicable and can be applicable to every single one of us. The Jewish religion teaches this, psychology teaches this, reality and common sense should be teaching this to us. Therefore, what we are learning here is not so much matters of religion, but matters of psychology. We are not necessarily learning here issues about ritual or ethnicity or culture. We are learning a universal element, which is therefore applicable to all of us, men and women, Jewish, non-Jewish, religious, irreligious, doesn't matter. As long as you're a human being, you have a human soul, bingo, this means you, or me, or us. So, jumping right into our text, our topic of prophecy. Remember, in our previous class, we digressed and discussed prophecy in accordance to the understanding and interpretation of Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, otherwise known as the Maimonides, wherein which he spoke about the absolute importance of the cultivation of the intellect. The rational mind is the vessel that receives the prophetic insight. And a point that we made, that the mind, in quote, travels. We said very clearly, it's not like your soul leaves your body and goes off somewhere, no. But rather, something comes into you. We called it the supernal light. Well, as we proceed through tonight's class, we're going to see very clearly that this, in quote, supernal light has a name. And that name, as Rabbi Chaim is going to reveal to us, is called Machshava. For those of you who know Hebrew, you know the word Machshava means thought. Thought. All of what we would today call psychic, parapsychological, spiritual connection with the, in quote, other powers, is all a psychological phenomena in the domain of the mind. If we forget this, then unfortunately we will be seduced by the dark side and we'll end up into the fantasical world of magic. So if somebody's asking me in text here to define prophecy, well, we are under the limited misunderstanding, I should say, that prophecy is somehow man talking to God. A point that we have made very clear in our previous lessons. No man talks to God, with the one exception of Moses. All human beings, prophets, communicate with the angels. The angels speak for God and bring the message of God. And a point that Maimonides made in the Guide to the Perplexed, a point that's actually made very clear in the Bible, in the Talmud, and everywhere else, is that the, in quote, angel of the Lord. Now remember, the Hebrew word for angel is a malach. A malach means a messenger. Anything and everything, even the forces of nature itself, can be God's messenger. We spoke about this within the context of a Jungian psychology concept called synchronicity. We discussed that in lesson 2. Go reference it there. We must understand now that the human soul, like we discussed in our previous lessons, is not encased entirely within the organic brain of the physical body. There's a 5-level soul, only 3 levels of which are included in the domain of what we call consciousness. The higher 2 domains are in the realm of what we call the unconscious. And using the Lurianic symbolism, again, I write about this in the What is Enlightenment series, the 2 higher realms of the soul correspond to those realms which we call the unconscious, and all levels of soul are called light. But these higher 2 levels are of a different and a unique type of light. See, the lower 3 levels of soul, being that they are conscious, are said to exist inside the vessel meaning of the conscious mind. And therefore, they're called internal light, or panimi. However, these 2 other higher levels of the soul, higher levels of consciousness in the unconscious mind, they do not exist in the conscious mind. Therefore, they're outside the vessel. They surround the vessel, symbolically speaking. And therefore, they are called or makif. Okay, so I got inner light, outer light, conscious light, unconscious light. Yeah, well, remember, it's this unconscious domain which connects us all in the collective hive mind of humanity, what Jung came to call the collective unconscious. It's a concept very similar as it was taught by the Ari in his Kabbalah, where he said that all souls are united in the super soul of Adam. We are all essentially one. Somebody again here in text is asking about the connection to what's called the Akashic Records. The Akashic Records is an occult term wherein which through the power of meditation, one is able to go into what's believed to be the spiritual records of the lives of individuals to ascertain knowledge and information about them. Well, in the collective unconscious, those who have become experienced to go into these higher realms of consciousness and extract from the unconscious elements and areas from the collective consciousness through force and powers which are even beginning now to be documented and validated through parapsychological studies, people are able to extract information. You see, this is actually where Carl Jung came across the concept, the theory of what he called the collective unconscious. You see, he was dealing with schizophrenic patients. Remember, a schizophrenic individual has 2 sets of reality, this one and whatever else is out there. And he was noticing that in these schizophrenic states, these individuals were
being able to draw images of pictures or mandalas or relate concepts and ideas which were clearly outside of the cultural parameters of that person's, that individual's life and experience. And in studying the life history of the individuals involved, was able to clearly validate and verify that these people had absolutely no access to, exposure to, or any other way to be aware of the significance of the images that they were drawing and the other things that were coming forth from them, which clearly had significance, meaning in other cultures, in other religions, in other ways, which the individual from the point of consciousness had absolutely no contact. So therefore, how do they get access to this information? Where did it come from? Obviously, if it's out there, in quote, what we call the collective unconscious, well, everybody has access to it. And being able to show and verify and validate that these people were bringing in things from somewhere beyond the conscious mind, they were real and legitimate, had to come from somewhere. And that's how we understood the collective unconscious. Now, when it comes to understanding prophecy, we are talking about what I call the mechanical operations of the mind. Because ultimately, the mind is a machine. And yes, it operates in accordance to its own mechanics, its own laws of physics. It might be a wee bit more complicated than a standard combustion engine. Certainly doesn't have a carburetor or a piston in it, but it has all the different parts. And remember, I'm not talking about the brain. I'm talking about the mind itself, which, best my knowledge, modern science has never been able to put their finger on to say, ah, this is it. So it's something much more nebulous, consciousness, sentience. But this is our experience. And therefore, by learning and knowing and understanding ourselves, both in the collective and in the personal, well, this is how we come and see the reflection of God that is mirrored within our souls. So picking up now within our text, Rabbi Chaim writes, Nimsa, we find, Shehanevuah, hu kedimyon ha-chalom, shenafsho ha-sichlit yotzet memeno ve'ole lamala memadrega lamadrega. We find that prophecy is similar to a dream, where in which your rational soul leaves you and ascends above level by level. Now remember, we said it doesn't really leave us. And notice he said here in the Hebrew is nafsho ha-sichlit, your rational soul. Because in a dream, the part that remembers what you see is your rational conscious mind. Your unconscious mind is the one coming up with all these weird symbolisms and stuff like that and sending the image to your conscious mind for your conscious mind to get, understand, and interpret. And that is the nefesh sichlit. And as we learned in our previous class, how important and vital it is that our nefesh sichlit, our rational intellectual mind, be sharp, clear, just like I've been sharing throughout this series. So that when we see imagery, we're able to literally analyze it, as if putting it under a microscope, like a scientist, to analyze and understand it. Well, that's exactly what it is that we have to do. So, the thinking, the rational soul, in quote, in the imagination, ascends from level to level. V'sham tzofeu mabit, you look and gaze around. V'har kach uzev yored, and therefore you then come back and return. U'mashpia ze ha'ur ad nefesh ha'chaya asher ba koach hamedameh. And from here you radiate this, in quote, light upon what's called the nefesh ha'chaya. That's the chaya level of soul, corresponding to chokhmah, corresponding to the unconscious, corresponding to the imagination, which he says there is the power of the imagination. What is this light? The power of thought, like we said. V'sham mitzta'arim u'mitkashemim yoter otan devarim. And therefore, in your mind, you're able to visualize and form and structure these things. Therefore, when you awaken, your mind remembers these things. Asher gam hem benefesh haya, because again, it's coming from your imagination, as we say. As is known in the wisdom of nature, natural wisdom, natural science. Well, Rabbi Chaim was a student of Chochmat HaTeva, what we would call natural sciences. Yeah, he was. You betcha he was. Just like Maimonides, just like Rabbeinu Bachya before him, learning science, math, and all these things are a vital complement to Torah study and essential for us. If you've never really picked up a book on biology, chemistry, physics, make that your Sabbath reading. Understand the ways and nature of that which God has made. You will understand how to recognize the hidden hand of God and possibly, wink, wink, recognize any messages that might be coming your way through them. Synchronicity, or as Rambam would call it, prophecy. Okay. Moving right along. V'harei nitpa'er inyan ha-nevo'ah v'inyan ha-halom hetev, ki zeh ba'od she'nefesh b'gufo. V'har kach yitzit ha-nefesh. All right. So this is the definition of prophecy and dreams, right? Where your soul is still in your body, right? But then it goes to your mind. Omam b'nevo'ah tzmah yish shne minim. Now with prophecy, Rabbi Chaim, quoted by here by the Ben Ish-Hai, he says there are two different types of prophecy. The first, Nevuat Shara Nevi'im, the normal everyday prophet, Shebe'et ha'ur nishpav o'magia b'yiradato le'nefesh ha'sichlit, when this light radiates down and descends into the rational mind, the nefesh ha'sichlit, the thinking soul, Asher bo, asher, that's there. Umesham yoredet al nefesh ha-chaya, and from there it goes into the imagination. Litzayer sham b'chamisha chushim ha-penimiim asher b'koach ha-medameh, and within the imagination, it activates your five internal senses to create within your imagination as if this was a real experience. Hayu ha-chushim ha-chitzoniim Nir ta'im b'ra'ad gadol. Your external senses start to shake and shiver and rock and roll, if you will. V'hayo noflim, right? And then people would actually like fall down on their faces. Ki ein ko'ach behem likabel ha'or ahu. Because receiving this enlightenment in light is such an overwhelming experience. Litzero ulegashimo b'chushim ha'chomreim. To be able to relate and experience in their physical senses. So this type of a prophecy, a nevoal derech ze, this is called like a dream. Afal pisheino chalom mamash, it's not really a dream, but we call it that. We call it like falling into a trance. V'tir dema nifela al Avraham. And he gives a biblical example with Avraham. Trance. It is always said that in the prophetic trance, the body would shake. Shake, rattle, and roll. People say, gee, I've never seen that. And I said, oh, no. Have you ever seen any kind of aboriginal type of where they call upon the spirits and the people, their eyes are rolling in their heads and they're shaking. They have the music playing and they're jumping up and down. They seem to be rocking and rolling like something's possessed them. I see these things like on the science channels and the history channel programs. So I know that they're out there. I know that these experiences happen cross-culturally to people around the world. What Rabbi Chaim here is saying that it's a very universal, psychological type of experience. And this is exactly how it appears to happen to the biblical prophets. Now, what is somebody actually coming in contact with? That's a good question. According to a very simplistic way of things, which I have to say is probably not correct, most people will interpret, well, you're either coming in touch with a holy force or an evil force. You're coming in touch with a demon or a spirit. You know something, I think maybe we're watching too many movies, okay? Too many scary shows. Somebody's talking here about earth spirits. Well, we do believe that there are such things as earth spirits, but these types of spirits are also what we can call, as Rambam does, the forces of nature. All right? If I want to get in touch with gravity, is gravity going to appear to me in the form of a human being? Is gravity going to talk with me and share with me the secrets of what gravity is? I give you a dramatic pause here. It could be. It could be. It all depends on your spirit of imagination. That is the great key. Years ago, when I wrote my book, Call Upon My Name, I taught there a very simple meditation. And I've repeated this over numerous times over the years, where it just, have you visualized the letters Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei of God's name? It's not enough that you just, like, look at the letters. I encourage you, visualize the letters as if they're alive, each one. Go up and talk to them. Go up to the letter Yud, all right? Make believe it's got a hand, shake its hand, give it a hug. It's go, yo, Yud, what's happening? Sit and chat. And in your imagination, create a dialogue. You will find that as your imagination is let loose, elements and domain from your unconscious mind will seep through into your imagination and allow revelations and insights to occur. And indeed it does. In other cultures, in other ways, people are doing the same thing within their own contexts. Whether or not this is holy or unholy or whatever is an irrelevant concern, simply because we're not dealing here with a religious issue. We're dealing with a psychological phenomena. Psychological. Happens to everybody. Mental illness can happen to everybody. If and when we have somebody who is schizophrenic and is experiencing alternate realities, and I have seen people go down in states of schizophrenia, and I've actually sat and observed and watched, and literally I would sit right in front the person, wave my hand in front of their eyes, totally oblivious to my presence. They are literally in another world in their minds. Quoting the wise words of, again, Shuangzi, dreamed that he was a butterfly. When he woke up, the dream was so vivid and real to him, he questioned again, am I a man who dreamed that he was a butterfly? Or perhaps maybe I'm really a butterfly, he's dreaming I'm a man. Which reality is real? Well, that's a good old metaphysical question. We deal with the reality that we know. But the importance of cultivating a healthy and a vivid imagination cannot be underestimated. The only thing that we must remember, as we have been discussing over and over, is the vital, again, vital importance of the nefesh ha-sichlit, the rational, intellectual mind. So if and when I want to sit in my meditation and I want to fantasize big, oh, fantasize whatever, I am Superman, and I fly off into the Star Wars universe to use my X-ray vision to fight Darth Vader and the dark side of the Force. Whatever. I mean, I'm just, you know, making up stuff off the top of my head. But if I allow my mind to free associate, and I allow the different ideas and things to just take on a life of their own, they do. And the pieces of many a puzzle start to fit together. Now, this is why we talk about the importance of separating from the outside external concerns of the world. Not to think about and worry about this or that, what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to dress, what I'm going to do. But we think about spiritual concepts, holy, lofty concepts. And as we do that, we literally fill our minds with, if you will, holy imagination. And in the context of a holy imagination, we refine our thoughts, we refine our mind, we refine our character, and that's really a good thing to do. That's exactly the way the system works. So this then is the first way of prophecy. But there's another way. This second way is what he calls here complete prophecy. And this complete prophecy does not include all this shaking, rattling, and rolling of all the different physical senses and the like, but rather comes to you in a clear and a coherent mind. There's only one person who is believed to have had this level of prophecy, and we say that was Moses by God's choice. Moses did not have to go into a trance, an altered parallel state of consciousness, to know the way of God. I've heard it once described by one of the great sages who stated, the regular prophet, if you will, can hear the word of God. Whereas Moses, if you could, if you will, would read the mind of God. Moses had a unique relationship with heaven, which I believe, and you may or may not like my choice of word, was clearly extraterrestrial. I believe that somehow, somewhere, somebody, if you will, tapped good old Moses there, and it wasn't just like every other prophet who had an internal experience. Moses, I think, had a real close encounter of both the third, fourth, and fifth kinds. I think there was something much more real that happened at Sinai that, in light of the legends and the stories and how they've been passed down and worded in the Torah, how we can understand them in light of modern day 21st century science and physics, there's a lot more to the story than meets the eye. There's a lot that even the sages of old, because of their non-exposure to the technologies of today, they would never have seen. But this is unique to Moses. And of course, that's one of our principles of faith, of the uniqueness of the prophecy of Moses. But that's the second level. Clarity, calmness, pure. He says he was very, very refined. His entire nature, his body, his physiology was refined. We spoke in our previous class about the importance of physiology. Today, we live in a society which literally promotes drug addiction. I ask you, how many of us are on one form of drug or another? What do we call drugs? Oh, that's right, medications. And these medications have effects upon the body, side effects, which often, in my opinion, from what I see on these television advertisements, are a heck of a lot worse than the problem that they are allegedly supposed to cure. My gosh, as a matter of principle, unless it was a matter of life and death, I'm not taking any meds. I mean, you might remember a while back, over a year or so ago, I had some issues with my heart. And the doctor said to me, well, you better take some types of medication. And I said, I don't need your medication. I know what to do to fix a problem. He goes, oh yeah, let's see, I'll give you 3 months. Came back in 3 months, I shocked the doctor. I completely turned around the blood cholesterol, everything. He says I was a role model for all of his other patients. It was a lot of hard work, it was a lot of discipline, but I did it. In the words of Frank Sinatra, remember, I did it my way. I did it the natural way. I can do it. Remember, I'm no young man. Every and any one of us can do it. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how sick we are. We can all get healthy, better. We've got to lose the excess weight. Got to cleanse the system. And therefore, allow the body to maintain natural health. If and when a person presently has certain medical conditions and they are under the care of a physician, please do not consider anything that I'm saying now outside of the context of what your medical doctor will recommend to you. I certainly cannot and will not ever offer medical advice. I'm not a doctor. It's not my job. But if there is a way that your doctor could in any which way find a natural solution for issues for your medical ways, it's always the best way to do it. Problem is, most of us do not make the right and best choices for things, and therefore we cause our own problems. This is nothing new under the sun. Maimonides wrote about this almost 1,000 years ago. But now let's move on. With regards to Moses, it says, Nishtana al yedei kidushat ma'asav. Moses was transformed, it says here, by the power of his holy deeds. And he was almost like at the level of the soul itself. It says here, Husaru zumato, that all uncleanliness is purified from him. Nishara tov v'hazach, and all that was left of Moses was that which was good and pure within his body. V'gam b'kolchot nefsho ha'yesodit. And also within all of the natural tendencies of his natural body and his natural soul. Somehow, some way, Moses was transformed by whatever powers that he came in encounter with. If you remember the story of the burning bush, well, it is said that at the burning bush, the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses, and then there was God. We spoke about the concept of the, in quote, angel being almost like an apparatus, a communications device to which God speaks. And interestingly, in the Targum, Yonatan ben Uziel, he even gives the angel's name. It's one of the names of the angel Metatron, but that's for another time. But getting back to our text here, it says, Ki, behen levadam yesh bichinat geshem velo benefesh ha-sichlit misham lamalam. Okay, continuing. V'kvar nitba'er chayot shoreshim la'ein ketz. We all know that we have what are called multiple different sources above. What does that mean? That the unconscious can tap into multiple, infinite levels and realms in the above worlds. So when the soul ascends in the mind and consciousness, it can have access to wisdom, enlightenment, meaning, purpose, and teachings from numerous sources. So, hine, kefi ma'alat makom achtseva, kach yitkadel koach hamshechat shefa nebuato. In accordance to the level from where a soul emanates, that is the power from where they can bring forth what we call here the radiance of prophecy. Every soul has a source in the domains above. Now, we discussed this in our previous Ben Ish Chai class. We spoke about the parallel worlds. Remember, we spoke about there being the general four worlds of Abiyah. We described what they are and psychologically what they mean. And now in each and every one of these psychological domains, there are divisions and subdivisions of the subdivisions. In essence, what we have described are the multiple divisions of human personalities and levels. And each and every soul has an orientation, an interest, a focus, a desire, which is significantly different from someone else's. Basically speaking, there are those who are very, if you will, spiritually minded, those who are very rational or intellectually minded, those who are very emotionally minded, those who are very just mundane physically minded. Each different orientation has the ability to be spiritual and, of course, to practice any of these meditative techniques and experience something of the higher domains. But you will find that a person of a certain personality orientation will experience, in quote, the higher domains through the filter of that specific orientation of that unique soul. If you are an emotionally based person, the chances are all of your spiritual experiences will be emotionally based. If you are a rational and intellectual person, the chances are your spiritual exposures will be in the realm of the rational intellect, and on, based upon who you as an individual are. So that is why it is so important that we, as we can say, know thyself, know your personal orientations, the type of individual that you are. By knowing yourself, you will therefore be able to, if you will, go in the right path and direction and be able to access things through your proper channel, which will therefore speak uniquely to you. Vekan, gam im yihye shorash matzav neshamot b'makom elyon. And even when we talk about wherever your source is above, v'lo tiken, and you do not, the word here is you do not rectify. But that means is that you don't open up the proper channel, clean out all the garbage so you have a clear connection to that which is deep within you. V'lo zachal lamshich kol shorashim asher mesham ulmata. And you are not able, therefore, to draw down from all the supernal sources from that place above below. In other words, if your mind is still full of emotional turmoil, mental confusion, and the like, these are what we call klipot in Kabbalah. Jung refers to them as the shadow of the psyche. These are the things that have to be rectified. And again, why we place emphasis on enlightenment of the heart and enlightenment of the mind. The gamze lo yichu lamshich shev nevuato ela meoto madriga shetiken zvezacha aleha. You will never be able to bring down radiance and light from the unconscious realms or the prophecy from the supernal worlds other than from the places that you have already have an alignment and balance. Or here he says, being rectified. From those places inside within us which are pure and right, only there will we be able to have enlightenment, not from those places which are still clouded and confused within us. And he says this explains why you have prophets of all different types and sizes, because one prophet sees in one way, another prophet sees in another. And that's just the truth of matters. So again, when we want to try to have inner focus, visualize, if you will, a long road ahead of you inside your mind. All right? Picture like you have that long path, like, you know, the tunnel. And at the end of the tunnel is the brilliant light. And now you got to walk down the tunnel in your mind's eye, down that path, down the tunnel. To the light. Now watch your step. Go watch where you're stepping. See what's there to be stepped on. All right? Visualize in your own mind. You can do this right now if you'd like. Look down. Oh, I'm about to step in something. What are you about to step in? I'm about to step in a puddle. I'm about to step in doo-doo. I'm about to step in quicksand. There's something else here. There's something else there. Well, what? Don't tell me. Describe it in your own mind. Remember, it's your imagination. And then ask yourself, well, what does this mean to me? What is this image saying to me? This is how your imaginative faculty is speaking to your conscious, rational mind. And your rational, conscious mind seeks to make sense of, to interpret and understand how these images in your mind are actual expressions, reflections of inner areas of turmoil which need to be addressed, or in Torah speak, areas of blemish which need to be rectified. Ve'al tachshov ki kevan shebir'arnu she'ein nefesh hanavi yotzet megufo. Now don't think just because we've described that the soul of the prophet never really leaves his body. Well, hey, if, in all due respect, the soul really doesn't go up into any of these other supposed spiritual worlds. What's he really grabbing in his mind? All right? He's not opening up any gates. He's not really going anywhere. So what's he really accessing? And this is what you have to understand. Lamala. Ki ha-nefesh ki-ayin anaf aroch mitpashet me-ashoresh ha-dabuk be-ilan ad guf ha-adam. Remember what we said about the soul? We used the metaphor of a soul being like a long branch connected to the root of the trunk of the tree, which bends down from above all the way down below until it reaches into the human soul. The human body, I should say. V'oto akav nimshach tamid b'yot ha'adam choshek la'alot al shor hasham. And it is always within us to connect to our higher selves. Now, this is the image of the tree. And the tree has many branches. The trunk of the tree is collective humanity. Each and every branch ascending from above, radiating down below with its individual leaves. Those are the individual souls. Now, this image of the collective being the tree and the individual souls being the branches is not just a recent Kabbalistic example. You will find this metaphor dating back to temple times. Surprisingly, we find it from a Jewish source in a Christian book. Specifically, I'm referring to the writings of Paul of Tarsus and his letter to the Romans, chapter 11, where he speaks about the great tree. This is a foundational image in Christian theology, where in which it speaks that, you know, if there are bad branches on the tree, God removes them and grafts other ones in. And he's speaking about this is the inclusion of the Gentiles into the church. Unfortunately, in modern Christendom, they misinterpret the tree as being the church, where Paul, I believe, makes it quite clear that the tree is actually collective Israel and how the righteous of the Gentiles are brought into the collection of Israel, which is exactly the Jewish message that we find amongst Kabbalists that was taught in the foundations of Universal Torah, taught even by Rabbi Benamo Zeg in his book Israel and Humanity that we have been teaching through the spring and we'll return to again in the fall. So you see universal concepts, regardless of where they pop up in different places. Continuing, Rabbi Chaim, again, Ben Ish Chai is quoting, about the importance, the value, the desire for us to cling to our higher selves. What exactly does that mean? There's always something deep inside a person that knows there's more to life, more to one's individual self than just what's there. How many of us always turn around and ask, is this all there is to life? Isn't there anything more? So, somebody's asking here a question in text. So we should be able to reach into our higher souls and see what our upper soul sees. Yes, but remember, that vision is not physical. It's not like you're actually going to be able to close your eyes and see a parallel world. But you should be able to grasp insights, revelations, ideas about yourself, about reality, about the world. This is inner contemplations. So he states here, Umidabekim na'asin achar alidei ha-haskala atzma. So you're bonding, and by the power of what he calls here the haskala, enlightenment itself. Shehu ha-shefa nimshach min ha-sechel el ha-maskil. Enlightenment, haskala. This is the radiance which comes down into the mind, right, from the source. Nimtzak ya muskal, that which you find which enlightens you. What is this that enlightens you? This is the light and the radiance itself which descends from the mind, from the what's called here El and Nefesh Hamaskelet until the place of enlightenment. What are we talking about? Zeh shefa v'ha'or, this radiance, this light that we're talking about, this is the matter which we called thought. Machshava. This is what I told you earlier. Machshava. Purity of mind, purity of thought. And Rabbi Chaim includes the words hevin ze hetev. Everything is in your mind. But remember we said that your mind is your five-level soul, two levels of which are outside of consciousness, outside of your brain, outside of your body, and what we call the or makif, and therefore goes into the ocean of the collective consciousness of humanity, and from there is able to access so much more. Now, we can't actually clearly understand that, so we use the power of imagination, and we create within the mind images, ideas, and thoughts and fantasies, which the rational intellectual mind then interprets and tries to make sense of. And that's what prophecies and dreams are all about, and that's how it all works. Ki lo devarek hu. Don't think that what I'm describing to you has no value. On the contrary, this is the most important understanding of them all. And this is why each and every one of us has this ability of accomplishment. It's not an issue of which Kabbalistic technique you wish to perform. Those are tools, a means to an end. The end being the openness, the ability of your imaginative faculty. So the more that you study, the more that you know, the more you're able to use as tools for your imagination. If and when you know the Hebrew letters, the Hebrew alphabet, Hebrew words, the names of angels, or specific combinations of holy names, these become tools that your imagination can use, which you can then use as a springboard or a diving board to access deeper realms of your unconscious. This is exactly how the old Merkava and Hechalot traditions worked, where in which they came up with combinations of holy names, created images of angels and palaces and the like, that these were learned in the minds of the students, who therefore embraced them, imagined them, and therefore that imagination became real inside their minds. If we can't do this, he says, then all the power of our intentions in prayer and the contemplations for good that we think about, all of this would be nullified. Human imagination, inspiration for good. So here we are now explaining to you, this is why this concept and spirit of prophecy is absolute and has to be. It's part of our psychological framework. Think of it, if you will, he states here, like a branch of a tree reaching all the way down from on top, and you're able to grab it with your hand and shake it. Shake and shake. That's the example he's giving here. Alrighty. When you shake the tree, he says, it all shakes, because that's just the way it is. In other words, when you arouse the power of your imagination, your passion, and your thoughts, and everything just starts going, everything starts to move within you. It's just nature. So if you're bored and you don't think and you have no imagination, well, you ain't going nowhere. But if you allow yourself to have exposure and allow your imagination to be rich and full, you will find yourselves going on beautiful, wild, imaginative journeys which can provide for you profound and brilliant insights. And this is getting close to what we call divine inspiration, even close to how we have interpreted prophecy. Omnam lo yitnana oha elyonim b'machshavah ha'adam ha'tachton zulati b'hiyoto ru'i. להמשיך אור העליון עליהם. He gives a warning. No one's going to shake anything in the upper worlds into your lower mind other than if you're properly prepared to do it. Alright? אז בשמחה זו גם הם ימשיכו מאותו האור אליו. This is what you got to do in order to bring this light upon you. אבל אם אין לו יכולת להמשיך אליהם או לליום, but if your mind is not properly prepared to bring this light upon you, לא יחשיבוהו כלל, then nothing, you're not going to be able to think of anything. You're going to sit there in a cloud. ולא יתרצו להתקרב אליו, and nothing from the higher domains is going to even want to come into your mind. Alright? He says here, לעוזרו להמשיך מחשבתו למעלה, כי הבל היא ואין בה מועיל. So ultimately, you have to have the power of imagination. You know, somebody here in text is taking a graduate exam for an acupuncture master's degree. Well, my advice to you is, not only do you sit there and you memorize each and every one of those needle points, visualize the whole thing. Visualize it as a comprehensive whole. Visualize how you could put an acupuncture point in certain place. And if you will, visualize in your mind how you could see the chi as like blue energy. Bing, 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 bing. Connecting to all the other different points on the body. You might not even know the names of those points, but look at them in your mind's eye and then reflect that in your chart. Correct your mind's eye image. And then all of a sudden this becomes absorbed within you. And it becomes real. It's no longer external knowledge. It is internal reality. This is the way that we do things. In this example, or in any other. Alrighty. On that note, I'm going to cut it short by a few minutes here. So we will start the new topic on the thoughts of the prophet and where and how he connects to the source of his higher self soul. We'll do that, God be willing, in our next class. So, okay, let's stop here for this class. And again, I want to thank you all for joining me in these classes here at the Kosher Torah School. I want to thank you all for your necessary and generous financial support. You know that if it's not for you, wasn't for you, I could not be here to teach. And none of us could be here. I know some of us are financially challenged. And for those of you who are and you give whatever little you can, I do appreciate it and I thank you. And I know there are those who are blessed. And I would ask that you would open your hearts and your wallets. Let's be blunt. Because we all need to work together. I provide, you provide, we provide for one another. Thank you all for your generous support of Kosher, the Kosher Torah School, koshertorah.com. See you all in our next class. God bless. Good night. Shalom.